Today's lesson, today's message is entitled Wonderful Jesus. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song, Wonderful Jesus, bright morning star, lily of the valley, that's who you are. So glad I know you. Oh, yes, I do. Wonderful Jesus, thou art so true. Now, I grew up at a time when they would start singing something like that, and they would sing that one song for 30 minutes. Y'all ain't used to that kind of church. See, y'all got church on schedule. You know, church is an hour and 15 minutes. They would sing that song, and listen. But see, here's the difference. I'm gonna show you the difference. See, we got better time management, but they had more power. See, because we worried about Obamacare. They didn't have Obamacare. They had to trust Jesus for healing. And so they would sing until the power of God came in the room so they could see miracles. Are you hearing me? See, when he's really wonderful Jesus, what I'm trying to get you to see is that we have made him, there is a Jesus our culture has embraced that is not the Jesus of the Bible. I'm just being honest here. There's a Jesus our culture has embraced that on certain days he only slightly resembles the Jesus of the Bible. I'm just, you know, because, see, when he's wonderful Jesus to you, it doesn't matter. Listen, y'all, things are not great for me right now, but he's still wonderful. I'm still trusting him. And he keeps telling me, he said, you still trusting me? Yeah, I'm trusting you, but this ain't looking all that good, boss. Still trusting me? Yeah, I'm trusting you, but I wish you would come on and do what you do. You know, I don't know why you like to be a clutch player so much. I don't know why. You don't even start playing to the last 5 minutes of the game. I don't know why we got to go through this all the time. But... Yeah, it's like, Lord, I thought I already passed this test. I thought I already proved that I'll wait on you. Why I gotta wait again? Yeah, you keep stretching this out. Talking about that's my boy. I'm up here praying my little heart out. And you up here talking about, I got you. Look, I know you got me. Can I see that you got me, please? Wonderful Jesus. Our series is titled Awestruck Wonder. Awestruck Wonder. The scripture for the series is Acts 2, 43. And it reads as thus. Hold on a second, y'all. I forgot to do something, and I need to do it because if I don't do it, it'll drive me crazy. So just give me a second. All right. And it reads, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Now, we told you this is shortly after the Holy Spirit had come. Isn't it amazing that when you first receive Jesus, you have this awestruck wonder? Everything about him amazes you. Everything about him is like, you know, Jesus woke me up this morning. Oh, my Lord. Put it back up. Leave it up. Jesus woke me up this morning. Oh, my Lord. And then he blessed me with oatmeal. Oh, my Lord. You just don't understand how blessed my oatmeal was. And he not only blessed me with oatmeal, he blessed me with orange juice. Orange juice. You just don't understand how good he is. Because when it's like relationships, when you first get involved, all you see is the wonder of that person. But the old expression says this, it says, familiarity . So the key, I think, in living a life of awestruck wonder is never become too familiar with him. Are you hearing me? Now you got to understand, there's the familiar as in I know you. For example, Miggy and I are friends. When Miggy calls me, I never say, who is this? A couple times he called me from the ship. When he was on the ship, he called me from the ship. And he wasn't calling from his cell phone. It was a different number or something showed up. And I was like, hello? And he started talking in the middle of a conversation. Hey, man, so what I was telling you the other day, that's how you know you really friends with somebody. They start talking about something. When did we have this conversation? But here's the thing. He knows he can do that because he knows I know his voice. Are you hearing me? So there's the familiarity of I just know this person. I know what motivates them. I know who they are. I know their voice. And then there's the kind of familiarity where I start taking them for granted. And some of the shine gets off of the relationship. Well, these people in Acts 2:43, it said they kept feeling a sense of awe. They kept feeling a sense of awe. Now, maybe the reason we don't in the 21st century church feel the sense of awe the way they did is because of what it says next. And many wonders and signs were taking place. Maybe if we had more things that made us wonder, you know. Barb, come up here and preach the message, will you please? Come on, Barb, and preach the message. Barb got the revelation in the seat. She said, if we could just get the awe, then maybe he would bring the signs and wonders. Worry about what we supposed to be doing instead of what he's supposed to be doing. Tell him, Barb. She got to shaking her head and rolling her neck. I said, boy. Next. She said, oh, Jesus, help me. Next. All right, so wonderful Jesus, our principal scripture for today's lesson is Isaiah 9. Verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His name, now see, I said it like this. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor. Because he's wonderful whether he ever does. So that's why we say Wonderful Jesus. We're going to talk to you about, I'm already 10 minutes in because that other stuff. Yeah. So give me about 15, 20 minutes. We'll wrap this up. Let's go. First thing you're going to have to do if you're going to stay with that sense of awe is you're going to have to understand that the Lord has done so many wonderful things. One of the mistakes we make is we don't tell our story enough. We allow our story to become old to us. And we don't realize that it's your story. And here's the thing. The fact that you still can do this, the fact that you can still go, your story is still being written. So now, how in the world can I be in chapter 55, getting ready to go to chapter 56 in a few days, okay? But I'm going to forget what happened in chapter 10. Because I couldn't have got to chapter 56 without chapter 10. There's some really noise. There's some really important stuff that happened in the previous chapters. And I have to be diligent about reminding myself how God moved for me in those particular chapters. How God moved when everybody stopped talking to me. How God moved when it didn't look like I was going to have money to pay my rent. How God moved when it didn't look like there was going to be any food in the cupboard. I know none of y'all had these problems, but I'm telling y'all, there was a time that a brother was living on ramen noodles. Y'all hear me? I'm telling you, living on some ramen noodles, I started turning into a noodle. But God saw me through it all. You know, you, Mama, you see, you'll understand this. You know you broke when you go to the store and buy ramen noodles and liverwurst. Yep, I'm just telling y'all. See, look, y'all don't even know. Look, yeah, y'all don't even know. Mm-hmm. Old bougie people ain't never been without. Will you say it again? See, the fact that you can say it's disgusting tells me you ain't never been hungry enough. My grandfather used to say, if you can come to the table and say, I don't like that, you ain't never been hungry. So we have to remind ourselves what he's done. You have to rehearse the story, okay? Over and over and over again, you have to keep telling your story. Let's look at the scripture. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak them, they would be too numerous to count. Here's a guy who knows God's done a lot for him. He said, if I would sit down and try to list everything you did, I don't have that kind of time. So I'm just going to say, you've really been good. I'm just going to say there's none to compare, and your wonders are too many for me to even count them. See, there's too many of us that get focused on where we are in the moment and forget how God has done things in the past. And so what happens is, because we get into this momentary thing with him, that, you know, I call it the Janet Jackson syndrome. What have you done for me lately? Don't try to act like y'all ain't never heard the song. I can tell by the way you're moving in your chair. Some of y'all watched the video. So some of us get to that. What have you done lately? As if. Now, here's the problem with that mentality, because it insults the one who's been doing the giving. It says what you've done is not sufficient. And so you never get to the place of contentment that the Holy Spirit promises, because you're so busy. Well, I got this right now. And you become very demanding and very temperamental. That's temperamental in a negative sense. That's not a good thing. Okay? I think I got another scripture. Psalm 107:8, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders to the Son of Man. Here's the thing. Leave that scripture up. The writer, the psalmist in Psalm 107, he says this exact same thing four times. He says it in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. Four times he says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. So what we know is that giving thanks for the wonders is something that should be emphasized in our lives. Having an attitude of gratitude, believe it or not, for the wonders of who he is what keeps him wonderful. See, Jesus isn't wonderful because I got money in the bank. He was still wonderful when I was dead broke. Jesus isn't wonderful because I have health and strength. My wife can tell you, I sang as much or more when I was laying on my bed and the doctor was saying, we don't know if you're going to live. Because my whole thing was, if I die, I get to go be with Jesus. So I can experience him here, or experience him there, but I'm cool. Y'all ain't getting this. Next. We must teach each generation his wonders. One of the biggest failures in the Church of America is that we have not passed on the faith to the next generation. Here's how I know, because I've had parents come to me and say things to me. This all has happened in the last 15, 20 years that I've had parents come to me and say to me, one parent came to me and he wanted me to pray. He said, I was in a large church. I'm standing there working the altar, and this guy had the distinction, like Robin today. He was the only person in the church that didn't look like me. And he comes to the altar, and he says, he's got tears. I mean, I'm thinking this dude is coming for, like, salvation. He's crying so hard. And so I finally get him to calm down enough to tell me what he needs. And he says to me, he says, I'm so burdened for my children. I'm so burdened for my children. He said, will you pray with me for the salvation of my children? I said, oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Now, I'm an inquisitive guy. I said, how many children you have? Two sons. I said, wonderful, wonderful. I said, well, God will save them. I said, how old are they? He said, 10 and 12. He said, but they want nothing to do with the church. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to be at church. I said, well, there's the first problem. He said, what's that? I said, they shouldn't have an option. He said, listen, grown man. He said, I can make them come? I said, sir, the only reason I'm standing here able to pray for you, it's because my mama grabbed me by the back and drug me to church. Some of the worst whoopings I got was for stuff I did in church. In front of the whole church. Wasn't no taking me out to the bathroom. That was for them dignified folks. No, the judgment of the Lord was momentary. It was right there in the moment. And so what we've done is we've raised a generation of children who I was on a conference call, and the reason I got on the conference call is because a friend of mine called me. She was very concerned about some things, and she said she was filling me in. She wanted me to be on the initial conference call. I couldn't be on the initial conference call because I'm your pastor and I was teaching Bible study. So she called me after that conference call. She's so upset. I can tell she's been crying. And I said, what's going on? And she began to tell me what happened on this conference call. It was supposed to be a conference call about racial reconciliation and healing. Okay? And they started trying to use some of the resources of the world. And that thing went sideways quick. And one of the young ladies that was on there, she was African-American young lady. She was the daughter of a pastor. She had been in church her whole life. And she's talking about how much she hates the church, how much she can't stand the church because the church this and the church that. And I said, we have really messed up in not teaching our faith to the next generation. See, if you told your story enough, your children would be able to tell your story. See, I can tell my dad's story because my dad told me his story so many times. I haven't seen my dad in a while because my dad's been in real quarantine. When my dad went into quarantine, you was doing good if you can get him to do a video call, which dude's in quarantine. He might, if you go to the house and call him in advance, he might come out on the porch while you stand out in the driveway. Maybe. But my dad, when we were kids, he would tell us his story. He never hid anything from us. He would just say, here's some of the mistakes I made. Here's how God helped me through it. And he would tell us his story. So the last time I was with him, we were sitting in his sunroom, and he was talking to me about one of my siblings. And he said, you know what, son? He said, I'm not worried about him. He said, because the Lord made a promise to me, and I could almost say it with him when he started saying it. He said, the Lord made a promise to me when I gave my life to him that if I just served him, that my children would line up behind me like little bitties, like the chicks line up behind a hen. He said, so I'm not worried. But see, I know his story. I know that when my dad received the Holy Spirit, he was addicted. He was addicted to cocaine, heroin. He was a big-time drug dealer, addicted to cocaine and heroin. Gave his life to Jesus, received the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues, they don't receive the Holy Spirit that way now, but that's, you know, this new Holy Spirit, he just show up, but he don't announce himself at all. But he received the real one, the old one. He got the old Holy Spirit, the one that make noise when he show up. And so he receives the Holy Spirit and immediately delivered from drugs. Never had another craving, never had any withdrawals. He said, that day. He said, but I don't understand, son. It took me a year and a half to stop smoking cools. I'm just telling y'all how he told me his story. See, we have to understand that if the next generation is going to know the wonder of who he is, his wonder is revealed in our story. Don't get me wrong, the Bible is great. It's great that you can tell them Abraham's story and Isaac's story. It's great that you can tell them David's story and Paul's story. But the story that's going to have the greatest impact is Mama and Daddy's story. I remember one time when my son was, I was actually feeling kind of bad about something. And my son, he happened to come home that weekend. And he said to me, he said, what's going on, Dad? I said, oh, I'm good, man. He said, no, he said, there's something on your mind. I said, I don't want to talk about it. I said, oh, I'm fine. He said, well, Dad, he said, just remember, he started telling me my story. He said, I remember when you were sick. He said, Dad, I was so worried about you. He said, that's why every day I would get off the bus and I would run to the house. Because I just knew I had to check on you because all day in school I was wondering, am I going to get home and my dad's still alive? He said, and I watched you, how you kept believing God. He said, and Dad, remember the time when he starts telling me all these events that we've gone through in our life. He knew the story. Are you hearing me? Let's look at the scripture. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. Tell the generations to come of the praises of the Lord and about his strength and the wondrous things he's done. We have a responsibility to tell them. People, well, I just want him to grow up and find his own path. You didn't let him find his own doctor. You didn't let him choose what school he went to. If you're a good parent, you don't let him choose what to eat because your child will grow up on popcorn and Doritos. That's how you know these folks are insane, talking about a six-year-old should be able to have a sex change operation. You sound like an absolute idiot. I don't mind telling you that you are stupid personified. I don't have enough words in my expansive vocabulary to explain how ignoramus you are. That's the dumbest thing in the world. A six-year-old, here's the truth. Everybody here that's either had children or dealt with children, you know as well as I do, go to a six-year-old and say something like, "What do you want for lunch?" That answer can take 25 minutes. Well, I want to, here's Allie. This is Allie. Allie, can we go to the Juicy Crab? I said, you the bougiest five-year-old in the world. You know, you ask a kid, what do you want for lunch? That could take 25 minutes. And then, after you take time to fix it, I don't want that. No, you just told me you wanted this. See, that's when the black mamas go crazy. They get to roll in their neck. Either you gonna eat it or you gonna wear it. Which one's it gonna be? But what I'm trying to get you to see is, you cannot leave something that determines a person's eternal destiny in the hands of a fool. Okay, he just called kids fools. Here's what the scripture says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far away from him. I know that scripture so well because of James Berry, my daddy. My daddy would tell me, he would say, "Son, I want you to be wise. I got to beat the foolishness out of you." He said, you don't understand, son. He said, I'm serious, y'all. This is how my dad would talk. He'd be getting ready to whoop us, and we'd be sitting there. I'm trying to talk him out of it. I'm like, "Dad, we don't have to do this. I understand what I did wrong." You know? And my dad, he said stuff like, son, you have to understand, son, that I have to whoop you. The Bible says that if I don't whoop you, I don't love you. He said, so you got to understand, it's not that I want to do this. He said, I have to do this. I was like, so now it's a mandate? I was like, love me less. I want to be your least favorite child. See, what he was trying to do, he was trying to make sure that I understood this is for your best. And it's my job to make sure you understand this. Next. Okay. Psalm 111:4. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has made his wonders to be remembered. What does that mean? That God doesn't expect you to be forgetting what he did for you. He does wondrous things just so we can remember. I can remember I'm going to show you how when people you love do things, it affects you. I can still remember I hadn't seen my uncle for a couple years, and my mother only had one brother. So this was like, that was my guy. You know, it was like my dad and then him, you know. And I hadn't seen him for a number of years, and I was living with my grandfather at the time, and my grandfather, his dad, and he's coming through Ohio and calls my grandfather and says, I'm going to stop by the house. And so when he first got there, I was so angry with him, I wouldn't even speak to him. Because I just felt like, why haven't you called and checked on me? And so he kept jabbing at me. This is how things go in our family. You 10, you ain't allowed to walk through the house and not speak to grown folks. Yeah, you get put in time out. Time out, you laying over in the floor. Yeah, time out, they knock you out. So, you know, he kept jabbing at me. And so finally, I told him, I said, I'm mad at you. He said, well, let's do what men do when they get mad at each other. He said, let's go down in the basement and see what you got. I wasn't a smart kid. I said, okay. So we went down in the basement, and he said, come on, put them up. Show me what you got. So I went to throwing them punches. Dun, 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 dun. And he's just standing there, literally. I'm wailing hard as I can. He's just standing there. Finally, he said, he didn't hit me. He just went. That was the first time I felt the power of the Lord. But here's my point. I was thinking about my uncle the other day because he passed away. How long has it been, Carol? 3 years ago he passed away. I preached his funeral. And I was thinking about him the other day. And one of the things I remembered is that story. Just like I remember the story when he came to California and I was mad at him again. And he told me this time I had boxing gloves because I was like 12, 13 years old. I had boxing gloves. And I started boxing. And everybody in the neighborhood knew not mess with me because I was good with these things, you know. And so my uncle comes and he said, you act like you got an attitude with me. What you want to do about it? He said, get the gloves. So we go out in the backyard, and now I got a little polish on me now. You know, I've been watching video of Ali, so I'm doing my thing. And my uncle he's just standing there like, so I threw a couple punches, thump, thump. He said, you got a little juice on those now, don't you? I said, yeah, you better know I'm here. That's what you better do. You better know who you're dealing with. My uncle, he didn't really throw a punch. He just kind of rolled his shoulder. And it looked like he was going to throw a punch. So I ducked. This dude threw an uppercut. Hit me square in the center of my forehead. I did a backflip. Y'all think I'm playing. He hit me so hard, I did a backflip. I landed on my knees. Have you ever been hit so hard that you could feel the earth rotating? I probably got CTE from that punch. See, I'm just telling y'all my story. This is my story. Are you hearing me? I learned a lot that day. I learned a lot that day. That was the last time we had that conversation. Not with him. No. I don't think I ever got mad at him again. I'm sorry, y'all. Next. Help me, Jesus. Everyone is not going to celebrate his wonders with you. One of the hardest things for people to understand is that everybody, even though we should, the Bible says rejoice with those that rejoice. You know what I'm saying? So we should be happy for what God is doing in your life. Miggy went and bought a new truck. He'll tell you, first person he called was me because I was so excited, like I had a new truck. I was like, what kind of truck we got? He said, man, I got to bring it so you can check it out. And so when I finally got to see it, I said, let me just stand here a minute. I need to appreciate this. He said, no, man, I want you to get in. He opened the driver's side door. I said, I can't get in there. He said, why not? I said, because if I get up there, I'm going to want one. I said, I'll go get in the passenger side. But my friend got the truck that he wanted. I'm elated for him. And Don bought a new SUV. When he was thinking about which one to get, he talked about the Palisade and how if I ever buy a new vehicle, it's going to be the Palisade because I just think for the value, it's a wonderful vehicle, you know. And we talked all about it. And he called me. He goes, I just bought a Palisade. I said, no, you didn't, Don. Come on. He said, no, really. I just bought one. He said, you got time to come over to the house? I said, I'm going to make time to come to the house. Because I was happy for my friend. But the reality is everybody isn't going to feel that way. That there, even though God, here's the thing about God. God is big enough that every one of us can be his favorite. But I guarantee you, the moment he starts pouring his favor on Miggy, somebody over here is going to get mad as if hasn't poured favor on them. Are you hearing me? So everybody's not going to rejoice with you. And religious people are the worst ones. They definitely ain't going to rejoice with you. I'm going to show you in the scripture. Look, watch this. This is Matthew 21, verses 14 through 16. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Next. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things, they saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. And said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have prepared praise for yourself? Now, and it's all a part of the same thought. If you back up to verses, I think, 12 and 13, it talks about Jesus whipping the money changers out of the temple. So before we can have this kind of move of God in our lives, we got to get rid of some stuff. Are you hearing me? But once he got all the crazy folks out and got rid of all them stupid people doing stupid stuff, now this move of God begins and he heals the sick and the lame. And he does all these wonderful works. And here come the religious folk. Do you realize they've been singing for the last 30 minutes? Do you realize, do you hear what they're singing? They over here singing about you. Do you realize they're singing about you? Jesus said, yeah. Yeah. And it's cool. Don't you dare bother them. This is what I'm trying to get you to see. I started saying probably 25 years ago or so, I was pastoring a large church in Ohio. And at this time in my life, man, it was like I couldn't make a mistake. Everything I was doing, God was blessing. I would do stuff, and I just know, okay, I just messed up. And God would bless it, and it would still make money. And so I just started telling the church, y'all don't know how rough it is being God's favorite. I said, but I'm convinced I am his favorite child. I said, my granddaddy used to say, God looks out for fools and babies. He said, you need to figure out which one you are. And so here I was. Some days I was a plain, flat-out fool. Some days I was just innocently uninformed, a baby. But God was doing so much, and I just kept telling people, I must be his favorite. The only justification is I'm his favorite. That's the only thing I can figure out. I must be his favorite. Because I had this understanding that we all can be his favorite. He's God enough for everybody to be his favorite. All right? But the first thing you're going to have to understand is that if you're going to walk in favor, there's always going to be that group of folks. I call them the hater committee. They full of hateration. That's what they drink, haterade. They got their own drink, haterade. They just got the hate. And you get blessed. There you go. Mickey get a new truck. He ain't need no truck. He was just telling me he ain't been on the ship since this whole coronavirus, and then he gonna buy a truck. Who does that? See what I'm saying? Just hating for no reason. Did he ask you for any money for a payment? No, shut up. See, this is what you're gonna deal with. And so you have to be so involved in the wonders of who he is that I don't have time to worry about what y'all saying. The late Kenneth Hagin Sr. said something very profound, and I've tried to live my life by it. Kenneth Hagin said, never answer your critics. He said, your friends don't need it, and your enemies aren't going to believe you anyway. So when they start hating, it's just like, it's the first thing you got to do, you got to mute the channel. So now it's just static. It's just white noise. You know what white noise is, right? White noise is there, but you just. The other thing that the favor of God will do is it'll prove to you who's really with you. It will. All right. That's my time. I went way longer than I thought, but them stories got kind of good. All right. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. We ask, Lord, that your word would take root in the heart of the hearer, and that it would do that for which you sent it forth, that it would produce life. We thank you for the life-creating force of your word in the matchless name of Jesus. Everybody said,